welcome back. You know, that might have been hard, listing out the voices speaking into your life, but it's important because it will help you make good decisions about which ones to listen to and to follow. Now, the only way you can really determine which voices to follow is by knowing which one is the most important, the one you filter all others through. And I'm here to tell you that the one voice that all other voices need to submit to is God's Word, the Bible. And all those other voices, the experience of others, your feelings, and even culture, those can be good things, but only in their proper place, and only when they align with what God says.
When I open this book, these are God's very words. And so therefore, He has spoken, and so I'm listening to God.
This is Kay Arthur. She's been teaching the Bible for, well, more years than you've been alive. And she says it's so important that you listen to the Bible, because when you do that, you are listening to the very words of God.
I'm listening to the one who chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world and who has a purpose for my life. And so if I recognize that it's God's word, then I'm listening to God and I want to understand Him and I want to know what He says.
Jen Wilkin wrote the book, Women of the Word, and she says it's really important to understand the Bible correctly.
We don't get to say, what does the Bible mean to me, until we have asked, what does the Bible mean? A fundamental thing that I am always asking women to do is to go back to understanding that we read the Bible first to discover who it tells us God is. And then we see ourselves in relation to what it tells us about God. And this is how we begin to be transformed. So when we study, we should be looking for that.
And we're not talking about just the parts of the Bible that we think deal with issues facing us women, like Proverbs 31, or Ruth, or Esther. As women, we need all of Scripture as our authority.
All Scripture is God-breathed. All is profitable for teaching and correction. And there are not pink parts of the Bible and blue parts of the Bible. It is all there for the follower of Christ.
Okay, so what does this look like? Remember Molly's dream about gossip? Well, I want to let you in on a secret issue of mine. I used to have a bad problem with gossip. And honestly, when I hear about the latest piece of news, part of me still wants to spread it around. But one day I saw my latest piece of news rip someone apart, and God convicted me. And later I came across some verses in the Bible, like this one in Ephesians 4, verse 29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it might give grace to those who hear." And then I found 1 Timothy 3:11, "Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate and faithful in all things." So God showed me that I needed to submit to His Word, even on this issue. And when God's Word is your authority, it doesn't matter what culture thinks, or what our friends are saying, or how you feel. Because there are times when what we hear sounds perfectly legit. But what matters is that you trust God's Word. That's what it means for the Bible to have authority in your life. When you trust the Bible, you're trusting God. And we've got another scripture memory song for you, and it's really driving home this issue of authority. There's an exercise for you to work through on page 37 while you listen to the song.
And the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I love your word, oh God. I love your word. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
That song. God's word is living and it's active. You can count on it. In fact, you can base your life on it. I have. Now, I gotta tell you, I've heard people say it's crazy to base your life on the Bible. They say things like, sure, the Bible has plenty of good things to say, but let's be honest. It was written over 2,000 years ago and times have changed. It's kind of out of touch now, like irrelevant. Maybe you've heard some of your friends say things like that. But listen carefully. There have been a whole lot of people who have put God's word to the test over the years. And it's still around. It's still true. And you can still trust it. And you know, you may feel like if you ask questions about the Bible or about God or about what you believe, you'll be letting your mom or dad down. But the truth is, they would love to talk to you about your questions or your doubts. They'd love to help you. And we have a recommended resource that can also help you with these questions. It's on page 38. There's something else you ought to know about the Bible. As amazing as the Bible is, it's not enough for you just to know the words. You need to know God. You see, it can't just be your parents' faith. You have to make your faith your own.
I think my parents knew that I was slipping away from the values that they had instilled in me growing up, but I don't think they understood what I was truly exposed to because times had changed so dramatically.
This is Leslie Lutie. You heard from her in session two, and I want you to hear her story from when she was your age. She knows how hard it is to make your faith your own.
I had been, quote unquote, a Christian since the age of five, but my life was for myself. I wanted the benefits of following Christ. I wanted to know that I was going to heaven in the end, but for the most part, I wanted to have fun and do things my way. And even though I was around, you know, Christians and we were going to youth group, there was so much going on behind the scenes that our parents didn't know. Yep, I took the sweats off and I was wearing a halter top and a mini skirt because that was what I had to wear to receive that kind of attention from boys at school, and my parents wouldn't have let me leave the house in that. So many young people are living that lie. They're going to church, they're signing the abstinence commitments, and they're living a completely different life. And when I was about 16, I remember just crying in my bedroom and just saying, God, what's wrong? Why am I miserable?
Why am I miserable?
And over the next few weeks, God began to just awaken me, saying, you know, this isn't real purity. You're not living in real purity. You're trying to keep yourself away from the edge of the cliff, but you're not setting your life aside. And that was really the beginning of a whole new season of my life where I discovered God's best as opposed to just trying to go the way of the world and tag a few Christian morals on top. And I remember hearing a preacher named Leonard Ravenhill say, what does it mean to be a Christian? Your life is hid with Christ in God. You are no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. And when I truly understood what it meant, that I had to lay down my life, I had to live for him and not myself. And it was an act of absolute surrender. And it wasn't until I knelt down by my bed and said, Lord, I surrender my entire life on the altar to you. You can do whatever you want with my future, with my career, with whether I ever get married or not. It's in your hands. This is your life, not mine. And it wasn't until I made that exchange that I understood what real femininity was, what it meant to live set apart. And it wasn't until I made that decision that I stopped chasing after all these things in the world because I no longer wanted those things. I wanted what Jesus Christ had to offer me.
I had to live for him and not myself.
Did you hear what made all the difference for Leslie? She was trying to live the church life, or the religious life, that she knew her parents wanted her to live. But she had this whole other life she was living in secret at the same time. But that all changed when she began to know Jesus personally. This weekend, we want you to take some time to really think about your life and about whether your faith is truly your own, that you have your own relationship with Jesus. Because there is a big difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing him personally.
Have you seen him? Do you love him? Will you give up all to serve him? Do you know him personally? Not heard it through the grapevine that his grapes were crushed and poured out wine? Have we tasted of his blood and eaten of his flesh? Experienced his power to exchange his life for our death? See, we were dead, worse than in a grave. Enslaved by legions of demons, the prince of the air had us depraved. A spiritual death which transcends the flesh, creating an eternal heat wave, which we rightly deserve, but while in our sin, God graciously chose to save. His crucifixion, the only sacrifice which does suffice. Anything gained in this world cannot be compared to the fact that we have been paired with, made heirs with, his holiness who chose to spare us with himself. He gave us himself as his treasure. We have the privilege of loving him, our treasure, from the moment we were born again until forever ends, which is never. Have you seen him? Do you love him? Will you give up all to serve him? Do you know him? Do you know him?
Wow, that is a powerful, powerful poem. And it's just a portion of the poem that Blair Lynn performed at a women's conference called True Women 14. She's telling us about the power and depth and beauty of Jesus. She's telling us who our Savior is. He's so great and so big. But you know what? As great and powerful as he is, he invites you into his family. He knows your heart and your longings and your desires. He loves you. He cares about you and about everything you're going through. Oh, my sweet young friend. We are at the most important part of our weekend together. So I want you to put aside thoughts of your friends, your status on social media, and focus in on Christ and your relationship with him. You know, one of the best known verses in the Bible is John 3:16. And we have this in your journal on page 40. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God loves us and wants us to live with him forever. But there's a problem, and it's called sin. Now, you probably think of sin as a list of things that you know you're not supposed to do. But sin is bigger than that. Sin is when we decide that we want to be in charge. We don't want God or anyone else telling us what to do or how to live. There's a verse in the Bible that says we all have this sin problem. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way." And that is so true. But the Bible also says that when we ignore or reject God and his plan for our lives, when we sin, that path will lead to death, now and in the future. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The great news is that when Jesus died on the cross, he was paying the penalty for our sin. He was paying the debt that we owe God for rejecting and ignoring him. But what Jesus did, it doesn't end there. He didn't just die, he rose again. And because of what Jesus did, living the perfect life, dying on the cross in our place, and being raised to life again, because of those things, I can have a place in God's family. I can be one of his children, one of the children he loves. And so can you. So, have you placed your life and faith in Christ? I want you to take some time to think through that question. Take some time praying, just talking to God, because as I said earlier, this is the most important part of our weekend together. So start by confessing your sin, admitting the ways you've rejected God in your life. Ask him to help you repent and to turn away from sin. And then ask him to take control and be the ultimate authority in your life. And you know, as you take some time to think about all of this, there's no better person to have beside you than your mom. She's thought about these things too. I mean, she was your age once. She had to make her faith her own too. So ask her what it was like. Ask her to tell you her story, because she's got a lot to offer. We have some questions for you on pages 42 and 43. So pause the audio and I'll see you back here in a little while.